holding a man. Give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness he giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens his children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in his care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. I shall come forth, I shall come forth.
Turned on here. I think I'm on. You're there in Genesis chapter number 17. Genesis chapter number 17. Thank you, Brother Shane, for reading the scripture. Brother Shane's one of the young men who's grown up in our children's ministry, and just recently, a couple weeks ago, he's moved out and he's now into teen ministry. But I appreciate him helping us one last time. Reading the scripture this morning for our children's ministries. Genesis chapter 17, the scripture you read is talking about Abraham, Sarah, and God announcing the birth of a son. God told Abraham and Sarah years before that that he would be a father of a great nation, but here he is in Abraham's old age announcing the birth of a child. It's kind of funny if he kept reading in verse 17, it says, "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed." It was, he's thinking, "Well, this is impossible. I'm an old man." But I'm going to preach this morning what I titled a model family. This is not a perfect family by no means. Anyone knows much about Abraham and Sarah and the story there knows there was many, many mistakes that were made by this family. If we had to model after a perfect family, none would exist. There is none. But there's a few things that I think we can learn from, that we can pattern our homes after, and God chose to use them. And I appreciate the young people being in here. I'm going to ask all the young people, if you have your homework and anything that you might fiddle with, put it under your seat so you can listen up as we do in as we do when we teach in children's church. I expect everyone to listen up straight and look forward. As I tell the young people, what do I look for, kids? What do I look for to know that you're listening to me? What do I look for? Eyeballs. I want to see your eyeballs looking at me. And same thing with adults too, I guess. Give your eyeballs looking at me. That's how I know that these kids are listening or not. If they're looking around at their neighbor or looking at the floor, they're not paying attention. So I look for eyeballs. That's how we pick the best kids. And so I want to see all the kids. I want to see your eyeballs looking right up at here, right up at Brother BJ as I bring the message. I'm going to teach a lot this morning that's going to pertain to adults, that's going to pertain to mom and dads. But I want to preach on the family and children. You can learn a lot from this. Learn a lot from this too. So I want you to attend this. I want you to listen up. As I mentioned, I'm going to teach on the model family. not a perfect family by no means, but God chose to use this family. And God chose to use them in a special way that only God could do it. He brought a son to this family when it was impossible. That's why Abraham laughed. When Sarah heard the news, and we'll see it here in a little bit, when she heard the news, she laughed in her heart too. This was impossible. And many, many times, and this is just a side note before I get to my points of the message this morning, and I'm not planning on being long, but I want your attention. This, my message is only 2 points. So, but I have 50 sub-points, but now I don't. But it's only 2 points. But God chose to do something, but wait until it was impossible for it to happen unless God got involved. And sometimes in your life, and there may be someone this morning, again, this is just a side note, but there may be someone this morning, whether it be a child or an adult, you're praying and you're asking God to do something. And it seems like it's getting darker and darker and darker. God likes to wait many times until it gets to that point where it's impossible and God can be the only one that gets the glory. The only answer is God did this for him to move. So once you get to the point of you saying it's hopeless, it's impossible, hey, that's when God can do something. Amen. So don't give up hope. Mom and dads, kids, don't give up hope. Everyone listening to me this morning, if it's seeming like it's hopeless, that's when God can get involved. Amen. And that's what happened here in this story. If you know the story, if not, I'll give you a brief background. God promised Abraham that he was going to be a father of a great nation that was going to be as the stars of the sky, as the sands of the sea. But here they are. Old age, getting in their 90s. I mean, they're up there. They're getting close to that century mark. And Sarah had not had a child. Here she is, 90 years old, and God's saying, okay, Abraham, I'm going to change her name to Sarah. I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham. I'm going to change her name to Sarah. And she's going to be a mother of nations. Kings of people have said that she's going to have a son I'm going to give to her. And Abraham thought, this is impossible. That's how God likes to work. God likes to work because Abraham knew when this happened, and everybody knew, the only explanation was God worked a miracle. Amen. God worked a miracle. And so he works with the impossible. When in chapter 18, just turn a page over, chapter 18, when he was telling the story again, and Sarah heard the story then, she laughed. In verse 13, the Lord said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surety bear a child when I am old? And then he asked this question, verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? So when you face that impossible situation, you realize there's nothing impossible with God. For with God, all things are possible. So I'm going to give you 2 points. And then we'll be dismissed and go eat lunch this morning. First number point is a thing that we can model after this family. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter number 22. I'm going to read you a story here. And this is one of the most famous stories we have with Abraham and Isaac. And we think, we model our life and model our home after this event. When God tells Abraham, I want you to sacrifice thy son. But I'm going to pull out a point here that I want us to focus on, starting in verse number 3 of Genesis chapter 22, and I want you to follow along with me. Genesis 22, verse number 3, the Bible says, and Abraham, after he got this order to sacrifice Isaac, Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took 2 young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lift up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young man, abide ye here with the ass, while I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and he went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father? And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So that they went both of them together. And so this story here, just a brief given illustration, we got young people in here. This story here where Abraham and Isaac, God told Abraham that he was going to be a father of a nation, a father of many, many people. Well, he's got one son. Is that many? Is one many? One's not many. It's one person. Well, he's got one son, and God told him, I want you to sacrifice thy son whom thou lovest. Sacrifice him. And Abraham knew in his heart, and I don't have time to go into it, but you can read the story in Hebrews, on the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, that he knew. Abraham knew. God promised that he was going to bring a blessing through Isaac. So for me to sacrifice my son and follow God's commandment, the only way that can happen is for God to work another miracle, which he's already done in his birth, is work another miracle and raise him from the dead. And so Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son for God, not because he was going to murder his son, but because he was going to watch God do a miracle and raise him from the dead. So when you read this story, don't think, oh, you know, God wants us to sacrifice our children. No, God wants to see if we love him enough that we would put our faith in him after he's worked miracle and miracle and miracle in our life to trust him to work another one. And that's what Abraham did. That's why Abraham took and raised that knife to his son. If you were to continue reading this, he was going to sacrifice his son. He put him on that altar. He bound him. He was going to thrust that knife in his son and then watch God work a miracle, because he had faith that was the only way that God can, that anything could happen. He trusted God's word, and what God had already told him, the only way it could happen is if he would raise him up again. And so we come to this story where he takes Isaac. Now, Isaac isn't aware of this. Isaac doesn't know what's going on. God came to Abraham, so Isaac's not aware that he's about to be killed by his father. And he takes and takes some men with him to help him. They take a donkey. They put everything on the donkey. And then he sees the place afar off, and he says, you guys stay here. Just me and Isaac are going. He grabbed the wood. He grabbed the fire. He grabbed a knife in his hand. We took the wood and put it on Isaac and said, carry this boy. He carried the wood, he took the knife and the fire, and Isaac looked around and said, hey, we've done this several times. This isn't the first time that you've taken me to church, Dad. This isn't the first time I've done this. I know how this is supposed to be, and there's something missing. And so Isaac asked his dad a question. Where's the lamb? And there's a prophetic statement made here, as Abraham says, God will provide himself a lamb. And there's so much truth. And that statement right there is just so great. You can rejoice on that. But that's not my message. My message is found in verse number 7, where Isaac spoke unto Abraham and his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. Point number 1, Abraham was present for his son. One of the points that it's just so simple, but I think we're failing. Many, many homes in this country, maybe around the world, I know this country, this point, we're failing. We're failing as parents. Abraham was present. When he said, my father, Abraham was there to say, I'm right here. What do you need? How many times they say, well, you know what, I'm home with my kids, I'm there. You know, between divorce, which is over half of marriages end in divorce today, and many homes don't even get married, so that's why that statistic isn't higher. But between divorce and entertainment, you say, I'm home with me and my wife and our kids, we're a family. Are you there for your children? Even though you're there physically, are you there? When your kids come to you and say, hey, daddy, you say, hey, I'm busy right now. I'm watching the game. Hey, you know, I got to check my Facebook. I got to do this or do that. And we're too busy that we're not present with them. When they say, daddy, we say, I'm right here. What do you need? That's what Abraham was saying. What do you need, son? I'm right here. Here am I, son. Here am I, son. Today we're focusing on Children's Sunday, and I'd ask children, invite your parents, invite your homes, because for God to do something in these lives of these young people, it's got to start at home. Amen. It's got to start at home. It's got to start with mom and dad, and to have strong Christian homes for God to, this world needs some help. You turn that news on, and all you see is violence and hatred and all this going on. This world needs help. Well, how's it going to be fixed? Are we going to trust our government to fix it? Are we going to trust the politicians to fix it? Are we going to trust the public school system to fix it? No, it always going to be fixed is in our homes. We get good, strong homes in our country that will make a difference. Parents to raise your children and teach your children right and wrong and ethics and character. But for you to do that, you got to be there. Man. Kids, do you like presents? You like presents? You like gifts? Of course you do. Every kid likes gifts. And sometimes mom and dads think, you know what? As long as I keep giving gifts, my kids will be happy. But you know, in reality, when it all boils down, what these kids want more than gifts is you. They want mom and dad. They want to be able to, when they turn around and say, I need to ask a question, and they're going to have lots and lots of questions. Amen. And when they say, I need to ask a question, who do they want to ask? Mom, dad. Sometimes you may think, oh, you asked me so many questions. Be there for them. Would you rather you be the one to answer that question or the public school system to answer that question? Would you rather you be there to answer that question or CNN to answer that question? You be there for them. When they say mom, when they say daddy, I'm right here, son. What do you need? I'm right here, daughter. What do you need? When it all boils down to and they grow up in life and they look back on all the things they've been given, all the things they've been given, you know what's going to be most precious to them? The same thing that's most precious to you. The time that you spent with your family. Mom and dad spent time with. They're going to remember that more when they invested their lives in them instead of the gifts they gave them. The money. They bought them all kinds of stuff. That's going to be meaningless. It's going to be the time. And this is the thing, like I said, many, many things we can look at in Abraham and Sarah and Isaac's life and say, hey, don't be like this. Don't do that. They made a mistake here. They didn't follow God here. They didn't pray about this. Don't do that. But this thing, I think, is something that we need in our homes today. Abraham was present for his son. Very simple, but we need it. We need it. He was present to teach him how to worship God. As you've seen there in verse number 5, Abraham said to the young man, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. He took him to church. He taught him how to worship God. And to the point of when you see in verse 7, you realize that they've done this before because Isaac looked around and said, hey, something's not right here. You know, you ever gone to church and you're taking your family to church and you forgot your Bible at home, and little Susie or Johnny says, hey, Daddy, where's your Bible? We're going to church. You didn't bring your Bible. It's good that they would see that. It's not good that you forgot your Bible, but it's good that they would know, hey, we go to church, we take our Bible. But so Abraham has taught Isaac enough to know this is how we do this, and something's missing. Something's not right here. So he was present there, taking him present for worship, taught him how to do that. He was also present for life's decisions. If you continue reading, when it's time for Isaac, as he got older to get married, he was there for him at that time to help him find the right bride and to stay away from the wrong type of women. To find the right one that would honor God and be a good wife to him. Abraham was there for him throughout his life. Was there present for his son. That's point number one. And I got one more point. I'm not going to be long. Genesis chapter 22, you're there. Back up to verse number 1. All of that is great. Some of you in this morning say, you know what, I got point number 1 down. I'm there with my children. I put the entertainment things aside so I can spend time. And entertainment's not bad. It's not wicked. But when you put that in place of your child and it's constantly. If you think about this week, you were there, you were home. You think about this past week. How much time did you actually spend giving your children your attention? And if you're getting an F on that test, then we need to change that. Because that's what they need. That's what they need. But all of that, if you could say, I got an A+ on that. If you fail at this next point, then it's a mess. And that's where we got this point here is this is most important. Chapter 22, verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And he said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here am I. So here you have the second time Abraham saying, Here am I. I'm right here. What do you need? First time was for a son. Point number 2, Abraham was present before the Lord. It's great that you spend time with your kids. It's great that you're there, that you have a marriage that's strong, your husbands and wives stay together. It's so rare today. I love seeing that. I love seeing the people that have been married for, how long was it Dr. Thompson said he was married for? 69 years. I mean, wow. For someone to be married for 40, 50, 60, 69 years, that's great. And I love seeing that. And I hope we see more of that. I hope these young people make a decision in their heart, hey, I'm going to get married, I'm going to stay married. When I say till death do us part, I mean it. Through thick and thin, through the hard times, through the good times, through the bad, hey, I'm sticking with my decision. And I'm going to stick with the one that God gave me. But even with that, if we can't get this point down, then we're going to lead. You know, it's good that you're leading your children, but if you're leading them down the wrong path, it may be worse than you not being there for them. They're here in Sunday school. They're here in church this morning. They got bus workers and Sunday school teachers and children's church workers that are investing in their life trying to help lead them. And sometimes mom and dad aren't present there, and they're not there spending time and leading them. So a bus worker, and there are times when a bus kid grows up and serves God with their life because the bus workers and church workers invested in their life and helped lead them because mom and dad wasn't there to do that. And that's wonderful when that happens. It's to see that God can still use someone that mom and dad, and they didn't come from a strong home. They came from a broken home. But to have a strong home where children are following you and you're leading them down the wrong path because you're not putting God first and you're not seeking God's face and you're not praying. When Abraham didn't pray, he made some bad decisions. But here, Abraham was there before the Lord where God said, Abraham, I need to tell you something. He says, I'm right here. You know, God tells us something every Sunday morning, Sunday school, church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Are you here? God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to you. And God could have been here in verse 22 and says, Abraham, and silence. Because he wasn't listening. He wasn't there. But this part, I think we can pattern that Abraham was present before the Lord. He was there to say, I'm here, God. What do you want? What do you want from me? Like Isaiah said, here am I, send me. You know, I'm here, God. Whatever you need from me, I'm here to listen. I'm here to do what you have me to do. Behold, here am I. He was present before the Lord. And there's a couple times I want to draw your attention that shows Abraham present before the Lord. And this is what we want to pattern. Not the times he didn't pray. We mess up. There are times you make decisions and do things that you didn't pray about, and you look at it and say, oh, man, if I would have prayed about that first, I wouldn't have got myself in this mess. Well, Abraham was the same way. Again, there's no perfect families, but in chapter 18, verse 22, when God was speaking to him, the Lord came to him to visit with the two angels. In verse 22, it says, the men turned their faces from thence, and these are the two angels that were with him, and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. There are times when the dust settles and whatever's done and people have gone their way, there's sometimes when you still need to be the one left behind on your face praying to God for your family. And this is what he was there for. He was not for his son, he wasn't born yet, but his nephew. He stood yet before the Lord. And said, hey, I need to make intercession. I need to be talking with God about this. Something has to happen, and it ain't going to happen unless God gets involved. How many moms and dads really spend time with God for your families? To where when the dust settles, that's where they're going to find you, before the Lord. Abraham stood yet before the Lord. In verse 13, this is kind of at the beginning. We go back to the beginning of Abraham. Abraham built an altar and God sent him out of his country. He made a mistake, went down to Egypt in chapter 13. Verse number 3, it says, and he went up on his journeys from the south, even until Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. From the beginning of his family, from the beginning of God using him, we see Abraham seeking God's face. And though point number one was so important, families need to be together. They need to be strong. These young people that are in here, the young married couples that are starting families, hey, start off right. Be present with each other. You say, I spend every night at home. Are you really together? Or are you separate? You're physically together, you're side by side, but you're all doing your separate things, watching TV, on the computer, on your phones, whatever it may be. Your kids need you present. Your spouse needs you present. But all that is almost going down the wrong direction if we don't get point number two. Are we present before the Lord? Are we spending time on our face? Daddies, mommies, there's commercials, there's songs, there's all kinds of stuff that are trying to teach us, hey, your little one's following you. Whether you like it or not, they're looking at you, they're patterning their life after you, they're following in your footsteps. I think there was a commercial made where there was a parent that was doing bad things, and then you see their little child beside them doing the exact same thing that they were doing, whether they were yelling at someone, or I think it was an instance of the daddy was smoking, and then you see the little one grabbing a cigarette, and it was this commercial trying to teach you, hey, they're watching you, and they're going to pattern their life after you. And if you're not following God, if you're not spending time before God and seeking God's face and following God's will, where are you leading them? Where are you leading? You have no idea. There is a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You say, I love my son. I love my daughter. Well, you better get this point down, because you don't know what's best for them. And if they follow you and you're not following God, you're leading them to destruction. You're leading them down a hard life. These young people in here, these little children in here this morning, they're precious. No one wants to look at one of these young girls and young men this morning and say, hey, I want their life to be ruined. I want them to end up in jail. I want them to make bad decisions. I want them hooked on drugs. No, you don't want that. You don't want that for their life. And you may say, hey, that's not the road I'm going down. I'm not on drugs. I'm not doing any of those things. But if you're not following God, you're teaching them not to follow God. You're teaching them that God's not important. When you're not bringing them to church, you're teaching them, hey, God's not important. And that many of these young people, if you ask them if God's important, right now in their life, they're thinking, yes, God's important. God is big. And God loves me. But they see mom and dad who think, hey, God's not important to me. When they grow up, will they still have that same thought? God's important. God loves me. Or are they going to think, hey, God doesn't care about me. And I don't care about God. Just 2 points. But I think if we get those 2 points down and pattern our lives after these 2 points that we see in Abraham's life, Abraham was present for his son, and Abraham was present before the Lord. My, how that would change our homes. And by changing our homes, we'll change our counties, we'll change our state, we'll change our country, we'll change our world. But it starts right at home. Are you there for your children? Are you present before the Lord? Told you I wouldn't be long. But it's something that we need to see revival in our homes. It starts with mom and dad, because these young people need someone to follow. We're having an emphasis on children, yet we teach them wonderful songs. They can get up here and sing. But they don't have a strong leader at home to teach them. It's going to be hard for them. the world's not teaching them about God. They're teaching them that they're not important. They're teaching them that they came from an animal. They just evolved into who they are. There's no purpose in their life. But the God of the Bible says there's a purpose in each and every life, that God made us all for a reason. And they need someone to teach them that and to be the example of finding that reason that God made them and living that life that God has for them. We talk about the church of tomorrow, and they will be the leaders of tomorrow. They need some leaders today that are teaching them which way to go. We got some leaders in our country that obviously didn't have that in their life. You look around and you think, how can someone be making the decisions they're making now? Well, because they had some bad leadership when they were younger that taught them they're not important, that taught them God's not real, that taught them all these things that are wrong. Don't you be that way. You want to see the country change? You want to see our home change? You want to see this area change? Follow these two points. Pastor, I'm going to pass it off to you.
Thank you, Pastor BJ. Good exhortation from the Word of God.